Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight. Every word is understood and every man is edified. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. All right, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, reading from verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, reading from verse 15. Now, you should be able to quote this in your sleep, right? Okay, don't look at your Bible. Look up. Okay? Let's quote it together. 1, 2, go. And that from childhood, come on, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. If you can't quote it by now, you know your condemnation is with you already. Do you understand? You don't need to wait till the judgment seat of Christ is with you already. Amen. You know, we've been looking at this text, exegeting it for the past 7 weeks. I mean, if anything, you should be able to quote it in your sleep. Amen. So that would, if you can't, then that would mean you are not going back to your notes, which is not good enough. Amen. So please work on that, okay? Amen. So, we've been looking at the subject of faithfulness, right? Okay. And we've seen quite a number of things. We also have quite a number of things to look at today. So, I believe verses 2 Timothy 3, right? Verses 15 and 16, I believe they're very clear. I mean, if you are woken up in your sleep, I believe you should be able to correctly exegete those two texts. Amen? But now, the issue seems to be with verse 17, right? Remember, we started looking at that last week. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we asked that, who is the man of God? Do you remember that? We asked, who is the man of God? And we said there are two dissenting views as touching who the man of God here is. Some people say it's the believer, the man who is of God, the man in Christ, anthropos to theos. Then some people say, well, the man of God is the preacher. So the question now is, who is the man of God? And I remember last week I said I was not going to give an answer because I actually said that because I wanted you to go back to think on it. Did you do that? Did you do that? Do you have your answer now? I know if I should ask for your answer, I might hear something very funny. So let me just help you. Amen. Now let's look at it together. Verse 17. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, naturally, the New King James Version, which is what I'm using here, actually missed the syntax of this verse in the Greek. And that's why it's always good for you to go back to the original text, because it gives you a clearer picture of what the author was trying to say. So what they did here was they rearranged it in such a way that might not really help you understand what exactly Paul was saying. So let me help you see how the Greek actually says it. Are you here? Okay. Now, this is how the Greek says it. It says, so that the man of God may be complete toward or for every good work. Do you see that? Having been fully equipped. I'll come again with that. So that the man of God may be complete toward or for every good work, having been fully equipped. Amen. So what the Greek did was that it puts for every good work after complete. Are you seeing that? So he is complete for every good work. Do you see that? Because he has been thoroughly equipped. Are you seeing that? Okay. Now let's examine this. That word complete, used here, translates the Greek word artios. A-R-T-I-O-S. A-R-T-I-O-S. It means ready because prepared. Ready because prepared. So the text can be read in this way, that the man of God may be complete or ready after being prepared. Are you saying that? For every good work, having been fully equipped. So the phrase fully equipped or thoroughly equipped, as the New King James puts it, now translates the Greek word exartizo. E-X-A-R-T-I-Z-O. E-X-A-R-T-I-Z-O. That's the phrase fully equipped or thoroughly equipped. Okay? Now that word means to furnish perfectly. To furnish perfectly, to equip fully. Now it was used here in the passive voice, which means that that's what the scriptures will do on the one being taught. Are you following this? So it would now become one who is fully capable to do something. Are you seeing that? Now the question is, what is he ready for? What is he prepared for? Okay, what is he now capable to do? It tells us, it says every good work. Okay, every good work. So he is made ready, he is made prepared, he is now capable for every good work. Now by using man of God there, it already gives context to every good work as ministry. Because that phrase, now I will help you, man of God, was used predominantly for spiritual leaders in the Bible. Predominantly for spiritual leaders. Remember, we saw that in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Paul calls Timothy man of God, right? Now, that phrase, man of God, was actually derived from the Old Testament portion of the Bible. Okay? That phrase, man of God, appears over 60 times in the Old Testament. Okay? Over 60 times in the Old Testament. And it was used for those in service to the Lord. Those in service to the Lord, used primarily for prophets. Are you seeing that? So no doubt Paul, who was a Jew and who had read the Old Testament scriptures, knew that, right? Okay, so Paul actually borrowed that phrase from the Old Testament portion of the Bible. Are you seeing that? So by using man of God here, Paul is referring to one who, having been taught, remember verse 16, right? Convinced, corrected, and instructed by the word, is now able to do the same toward others. So he can now pick up ministry. Hallelujah. So the believer, having been taught, convinced, corrected, and instructed by the word, is now ready or prepared to do ministry. That's the good work in verse 17. How many of you are here so far? Okay, thank you. Now observe that that word work in verse 17, it translates the Greek word ergon, E-R-G-O-N, ergon. Now that word ergon was used multiple times to refer to the work of the ministry. Are you saying that? The work of the ministry. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work. Are you saying that? To which I have called them. Now, obviously, this was before Paul, who is also known as Saul, began his ministry journeys, right? So the work here refers to ministry. Are you saying that? Preaching the gospel. Same with Acts chapter 15, verse 38. Acts chapter 15, verse 38. It says, but Paul insisted that they should not go with them, that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Are you saying that again? The work here refers to the ministry journeys of Paul and Barnabas. Are you saying that? Now, John Mark is the one being referred to here, who had not gone with them in that work. You see that in verse 37. I think that. So Paul said, no, John Mark did not follow us when we went out in this ministry journey. Okay, so I don't want him to come with us. Amen. And you know, they split after that. You see it again in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. He says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor over you. Now, pay attention to those words. Labor over you. And who are over you. Do you see that? In the Lord. Please underline that in your Bible. And admonish you. Verse 13, he says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Do you see that again? Work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Here, we are instructed to honor. That's the phrase, esteem very highly, okay? Those who labor over us in the Lord, that will be our spiritual leaders, our pastors, okay? Why? For their work's sake. Do you see work again there? So, work there referring to what? Ministry. So, Paul used that word work in 2 Timothy 3 verse 17 in the context of ministry. Are you seeing that now? Are you seeing that now? Okay, thank you. So, the believer who is trained, remember, by the word, right? Verse 16. Is now able to begin the work of the ministry. You know, very similar to what Paul also says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And we said the word hand there is a further explanation, right? Of the previously stated. So pastors who are teachers, right? Or pastoring teachers. Now, why did God give us apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastoring teachers? What we call the ministry gifts. Why were they given? Verse 12 tells us. It says, for the equipping of the saints. For what? The work of the ministry. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Referring to spiritual maturity and growth. I seen that, okay? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when Paul uses the word measure in his epistles, oftentimes he's referring to ministry. Okay? So when he says to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that is ministry. That is, the believer who has been grown by the word will now also take responsibility, okay, to grow others. Now, look at verse 14. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Are you seeing that? Underline that in your Bible. What every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part, underline every part, does its share, underline share. Now, causes growth of the body, underline that, growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love, underline edifying of itself. Are you seeing that? So, eventually, believers who are well trained by the word will now help train and mature other believers. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, every part will do its share to ensure that the body as a whole grows. Do you get that? So, the man of God, 2 Timothy 3 verse 17, would refer to a mature believer. Are you following this? A mature believer who has received training from the word, verse 16, right? And is now ready to train others. He too has now picked up ministry. Okay, the believer who has now been matured onto ministry is now fit, prepared to grow others in the faith. Okay, so God gave ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastoring teachers to mature the saints so that they too can also take up ministry. Are you following this? Okay, so those who have now been matured, right, will now mature others. And the cycle continues. The ministry gives matures the saints. Then those saints now mature other saints. Those saints now mature other saints. And the cycle continues. I feel in this. A cycle of growth. Hallelujah. Okay. And we said in this teaching that the believer must receive all the benefits of the word for this maturing to occur. Do you remember that? I remember I said that some people only like to hear what they like to hear only what they like in church. Amen. They have specific teachings, specific doctrines that they love to hear. And they, you know, they, in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, Paul calls it itching ears. Are you following this? Itching ears. Itching ears in that time, classical Greek, was used for genre of music. someone who likes a specific genre of music. So he says, okay, this is the one I like. So I'm not going to listen to any other thing except this one. Do you get that? So Paul uses that same imagery for believers and those who like specific kinds of, you know, there are some, you say, ah, I like that preacher. He preaches on wealth. So I will look for every preacher in the body of Christ. All I want to hear is wealth. Okay? So I look for every preacher in the body of Christ that preaches wealth. That's what is called itching ears. Do you understand? You can't grow that way. Amen? You can't grow that way. You know, they love to hear that, but they now hate topics like faithfulness. When you say pray, amen, give, evangelize, say, ah, no, I don't like that one. What I want is what I like to hear. Itching ears. Paul warns against that. Amen? You know, for you to grow, you must receive everything that the word says. Are you following this? For you to grow, you must receive everything that the word says. Both what you like and what you don't like to hear. Now, obviously, this would include doctrine, corrections, instructions, and even rebukes. Are you following this? You know, that's how we grow. So, the scriptures actually were given to train us in doing what is right. That's what instruction in righteousness in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 means. And we said that faithfulness is an example of doing what is right. Right? Okay. So that means that we can learn faithfulness from the scriptures. Right? We can. And we started doing that in this teaching. Remember, first of all, we looked at faithfulness in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. We saw four major Hebrew words that are used to describe faithfulness. We saw the word emunah, which refers to steadiness of loyal character. Then we saw the word Alman, which means secure character, okay? You are not given to change. Then after that, we saw the word Emeth, which means you're truthful. Your words and actions can be relied upon. Then after that, we saw the word immune, which means trustworthiness, right? Okay? Then we moved on to the New Testament portion of the Bible. Then we saw the word pistis, which means fidelity. Amen. Then after that, we saw the word aletheia, you know, very similar to emeth of the Old Testament, which means truthfulness, right? Then we moved on to faithfulness as a fruit of our spirit. We said in Christ, God has given us the ability to be faithful. We can actually be faithful because we are exactly like our Father. Amen. Then after that, we moved on to our faithfulness in our service to the Lord. Remember that? And we said that faithfulness to God is irrespective of persecutions, irrespective of convenience. We're coming to that shortly. Then after that, we moved on to how to remain faithful. Do you remember that? Okay. Then after that, we moved on to the subject of unfaithfulness. That was the other part of this teaching. And why we said, why are we looking at unfaithfulness? We said, because once you know what unfaithfulness is, you can be able to spot it, number one. Then number two, avoid it. Amen. Then we saw three words in the Old Testament used to describe unfaithfulness. Three words. Now the first word we saw is the word mahal, which refers to an act of unfaithfulness. You remember? Okay? But it was used mostly for trespass against God. Okay? Sinful actions. Then after that, we saw the word zaunau. That's the verb, right? And the noun zinot, which refers to adultery. Adultery. You know, when one party breaks his vows to the other, that is zaunau or zinon. Then we saw the last word, baugad, which refers to an act of treachery. Do you remember that word? Okay. Then after that, we moved on to the New Testament portion of the Bible to see what it teaches concerning unfaithfulness. We saw two major Greek words used for that word, for that concept of unfaithfulness. We saw the first word, apistos, a compound word, right? From ha and pistos. Ha means not. It's a negation, right? Then pistos, which means faithful. So you put that together, you have not faithful. Amen? Then the second word we saw was pronia, which is similar to zinot, right? In the Old Testament portion of the Bible, which carries that idea of, it carries that idea of adultery. One who has a commitment to another party, but says, well, I'm not going to carry out that commitment. He breaks his vows to another. You know, a vow of fidelity or commitment to another. Was that clear? Okay. Then we moved on last week to examine betrayal. Remember that? We saw two major Greek words used in the Old Testament portion of the Bible for betrayal. The first word we saw, gaulao, which means to expose someone for others to scrutinize. You know, it was used for exposing other people's secrets. Do you remember that? Okay, thank you. Then the next word we saw was that word rauma, which refers to betrayal, but with an element of deception. And remember, we saw examples of such betrayers. Why are you laughing? In the Old Testament portion of the Bible, you know, we saw Mephibosheth, someone who David helped. David blessed his life. You know, it was his father was dead, his grandfather was dead. You know, the kingdom was given to David, and David could have as much said, "Well, I'm not going to help you." But David brought him into his family. You know, he brought him, even made him to sit at the king's table. You know, he was faithful to him. But eventually, when trouble started in the land, he was happy. Can you imagine? Saying, "Hey, oh father, I thank you. My father's kingdom will now be restored back to me." You know, he refused to follow Mephibosheth. You know, that is not a good way to live. You know, don't repay evil for good. There's nothing to gain from that. Amen? Then, you know, the next person we saw was Delilah. And we said Delilah is an example of someone who keeps asking questions, you know, so that she can get information to plot another person's downfall. You know, and remember I explained to you that you must be very careful not to be naive. You know, you as much as we gather together and we love everyone, amen? And I'm not saying this so that you now become unusually suspicious of yourselves. You say, "Hey, somebody comes to me and says, please, what, when is service next to you?" Say, Delilah, no. You know, but, you know, be very, you can love everyone, amen? You can be someone who is very cordial. We'll see all of that in this teaching. But doesn't mean you are now naive. You know, somebody comes to meet you and is asking you questions like, can you tell me the secret of your church? You know, what does your pastor rub any special cream? You know, so that he can know, he can use the power of God. You know, things like that, very strange things that, like, obviously, immediately you're alert, you should be on alert. Wait, what? Right? Okay? You know, that's Delilah. So you must be careful of people like that. Amen. And, you know, next we saw Absalom. Right? And Ahithophel. You know, Absalom is more closer to home. That is family. That betrays his family member. You know, someone who kept plotting and plotting. I mean, plotted for 2 years. Killed his brother. Then after that, he was brought back. Instead of changing, repent, he said, "I'm back now. Ha! I'm going to show you." You know, then he started plotting again. You know, took the kingdom from his father and all of that. You know, and he even got Ahithophel too. That's the counselor. We said today, that will be the ministers. If he's in church today, that will be the associate. Yeah, those who are very close to the pastor, those that know the secrets of the pastor, that we have come. Let us plan together for this pastor. Let us pick him. I'm telling you what I've seen. Amen. They will come together and say, "Let us plan the downfall of this pastor." You know, in the church. No, not good enough. You can't expect to live that way and feel okay. Amen. If you feel okay, you probably don't have a conscience. Amen. This is somebody who brought him back, forgave him, right? You know, brought him, even if everything was fine, still it kept plotting and all of that. You know, not good enough. And we said last week that eventually, you know, when you are someone who is given to betrayal, it doesn't last long. The pleasures gotten from that don't last long. You know, you might enjoy it for a while, but it's just for a while. Eventually, you know, you will reap that which you sown. Amen? And it's not going to be beautiful. Oh, no. It's not going to be gorgeous. No. So please don't do that, okay? Then we moved on to betrayal in the New Testament portion of the Bible. We saw that word paradidomi, right? Which means to deliver someone to some kind of harm, right? And we said it was used majorly in the New Testament portion of the Bible for one person. Who was that? Judas, right? Who betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as well, he didn't end well. He committed suicide. Interestingly, similar to Ahithophel. You know, very interesting. You know, and lastly, we saw Demas, who forsook Paul. You know, we said Demas is an example of someone who has been blessed by his pastor, right? But he just says, "Well, pastor, you've blessed me, but I'm not sure you're going to make it." You know, the pastor starts going into issues. And then, you know, that is when tough situations arise that you know those are actually faithful. You know, and Demas was someone who just said, "Well, I'm not going to suffer with you." Amen. So, adios, via con Dios. And then he just moved out. No. You know, don't be that kind of a person. You know, be someone that can be relied upon even in tough situations. Amen. That is what determines a faithful person. Hallelujah. So we conclude that by saying that the believer must therefore be faithful to God and his relationships. Do you remember that? Must be faithful to God and his relationships. A believer must not be a betrayer of other people's trust. a believer must not be a betrayer of other people's trust. Amen? I trust that was clear, right? Was that clear? Okay. Now, today, I trust God that we will be able to round off this teaching. Amen. We're going to round off this teaching. So, we'll do that by giving you the faithfulness code, as I've titled it. The faithfulness code to help guide your relationships. The faithfulness code. Now, what is a code? A code is a body of laws and rules which you are to abide by and adhere to. I come again with that. A code is a body of rules or laws which you are to abide by and adhere to. Now, this code that I will be giving today will be in relation to your faithfulness to others. Amen? In relation to your faithfulness to others. Now, why are we looking at the faithfulness code? Because most times, when we don't know what to do, we tend to behave anyhow. Have you observed that? But this teaching today is what is being done so that it can bring back order into how we go about our lives. Amen? So when you know what to do, you would know when you are not doing it, right? And you'll be able to correct yourself immediately. Amen? So this faithfulness code will be a summary of all that we've learned in this teaching in practical guidelines which you can follow. Are you seeing that? So are you ready? So we'll divide it now. You would need subheadings here. So we'll begin first of all with faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God. Hallelujah. Now look at, you would need subheadings, and you would also need to list, okay, under each subheading. So number one here, your faithfulness to God comes first before anything else, including family, academics, and work. Remember, we saw that in this teaching, right? Remember Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Are you seeing that? So your earthly accomplishments are temporal. Remember we saw that, right? Only the things of God will last forever. So if that is the case, I mean, it's just logical. If my cars are not going to last forever, right? My marriage is not going to be forever. You know, at the end of the world, there's not going to be anything like marriage anymore. So if my certificates and all of that, the only thing that is going to last till eternity is the Lord and his work, right? The Lord and my service to the Lord. Amen? So logically, I should put that above every other thing. I mean, it's just logical. Right? Okay. So we said that your faithfulness, your service to the Lord must come first above every other thing. Then number two, you must serve God whether things are going well or not. You must serve God whether things are going well or not, irrespective of convenience. Remember we saw that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And we said that in season and out of season here, in the Greek, means when it's convenient and when it is not. Do you remember that? Okay. Now, this should characterize your service to the Lord. You don't let convenience determine your faithfulness to God. Your faithfulness to God must be irrespective of convenience. Amen. I remember I told you 3 weeks ago how one morning I just woke up, you know, starting to get ready for church, right? And I just felt very sick in my body. I mean, very, very, very sick, you know, and as usual, you know, those kind of thoughts come to everyone in such a situation. I started thinking, see, I will not just miss church like this. Maybe I should just miss church. You know, they won't understand. But I said, no. What kind of example will I be showing to the saints, right? If I, as a pastor, let sickness, amen, make me not to come. So, like that with the body, I just kept confessing God's word, amen. You know, I came to church like that. You know, nobody knew. You know, I taught God's word for hours. Amen. After we're done, we pray for hours. And after that, you know, with my body aching me, nobody knew. Amen. And after we're done, we had a great service. Nobody knew. Amen. So, in fact, we can say even sickness. Amen. It's not big enough for you not to serve the Lord. Amen. It should not even sickness. You know, look at the apostles. They said even in sickness, they served the Lord. Remember, we saw that in this teaching, right? Right? Do you remember? Do you remember? Yeah. Even in sickness, they serve the Lord. Amen. So our service to the Lord must be irrespective of convenience. Hallelujah. Also, know that this service is to be done with the whole of your heart, not as a mere show or eye service. Amen. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly, even when others are not looking. Hallelujah. Now, number three, obey the clear instructions in God's word about how to live. Obey the clear instructions in God's word about how to live. Let the Bible govern how you live. You know, a Christian cannot afford to live like an unsaved person. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Please turn there very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk. Walk there means to conduct your life. Okay? As the rest of the Gentiles walk. Are you saying that? Underline that in your Bible. As the rest of the Gentiles walk. In the futility of your mind, verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling, underline that, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, underline that, okay, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, and you have not so learned Christ. Are you seeing that? Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Are you seeing that? Okay, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful laws, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Are you seeing that? Okay, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true holiness, righteousness, pardon me, and holiness. Are you seeing that? So that means that because you are a Christian, there are some friends you cannot keep. Amen. There are some places you cannot go to because you are a Christian. Amen. There are some ways you cannot dress. Hallelujah. Your entire life must now glorify Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you following so far? Now, number four, your service to God must be consistent, perpetual, and continual. Your service to God must be consistent, perpetual, and continual. Remember, faithfulness means staying as you are. Do you remember that? Irrespective of good or bad circumstances. Now, this by definition means that you must be thinking long term when it comes to your service to the Lord. You should be dreaming of growing old, serving the Lord. Amen? You should be saying this to yourself that 60 years from now, I'll be found praying. 50 years from now, I'll be found reading my Bible. 50 years from now, I'll be found being faithful at church. 50 years from now, I'll be found preaching. I'll be found reading souls for the Lord. Amen? Amen. That will be even if you get married, even if you get a good job, even if when you have children. Nothing must change your consistency, okay, in your service to the Lord. The aim is to grow old serving Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, irrespective of good or bad situations, like I told you, for some people, you know, all they need is just something good to happen in their life. They will know that they are not faithful. You see a sister on campus, you know, she's very firebrand. Amen. She's a sister that prays in tongues. When she prays, you know, even the brothers are looking at her. Hey, let us, you know, she inspires brothers who want to pray. Amen. She goes out on evangelism. She's very firebrand. You know, she's doing the work of the Lord. You know, Sister Jane, let me call her that. You know, Sister Jane, that's a hermeneutic in this church already. Sister Jane. And then, all of a sudden, she marries Uncle Tunde. Amen. And she gives birth to the first child, right? Second child, third child. And all of a sudden, that ministry zeal just dies down. Why? Why? Does you having children remove the fact that you... Okay, I know additional responsibility has been given, right? You now have little ones you are looking over. But does it mean you now stop serving the Lord? You know, she was Sister Jane before. Now she's now Yagbingbe. Amen? Yagbingbe, that's her name now in church. Sister Jane, that was Yagbingbe. She's no more serving the Lord anymore. She's serving our children. No. Amen. Irrespective of good or bad situations. Amen. 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 That's what faithfulness means. Faithfulness means that you are not expected to stop serving the Lord at any time. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, number six, your faithfulness to God is seen primarily in how you treat spiritual things. Your faithfulness to God is seen primarily in how you treat spiritual things like prayer, Bible reading, ministry that is preaching to others, right? Okay, getting others saved and growing up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and attending church. If you are not constantly carrying out these spiritual activities, you cannot be said to be faithful. You know, prayer is supposed to be continuous. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, he says, and Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray. Do you see that? And not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. The Greek says, pray and continue to pray, right? Continually continue to pray. Amen. Romans chapter 12 verse 12, it says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. So some things are continuous. You are not allowed to stop at any time. Are you following what I'm saying? There's never going to come a time when we say, oh, in this church we know so much that we won't pray anymore. No. Amen. Some things are continuous. You know, same with attending church. In Hebrews 10 verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25 says, not forsaking. Do you see that? The assembling of ourselves together. That is church. Okay? As the manner of some is. Or as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, so if we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that means we are to consistently gather. Amen. We are to constantly gather. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Now, number 7, know that your faithfulness to God is also seen in how you treat others. Your faithfulness to God is also seen in how you treat others. That is your family. Pardon me, let me come again with that. Your pastor, your local church, your family, and business associates. Your pastor, your local church, your family, and business associates. You know, don't claim faithfulness to God while being unfaithful to men. Are you saying that? Some people say, I'm faithful to God, but they're unfaithful to their pastor. There is nothing like that, okay? We're coming to this shortly. Your faithfulness to other men will be an extension of your faithfulness to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, number 8, when God instructs that you do something, obey immediately. When God instructs that you do something, obey immediately. Don't give excuses. Delayed obedience is disobedience nonetheless. I'll come again with that. Delayed obedience is disobedience nonetheless. Amen? So, the commands, instructions of God's word require promptness. Amen? Swiftness to them. So immediately you God's word says do this, okay, and you've seen it in God's word, obey the word. Amen. Say I do the word. Say I do the word. Hallelujah. Is that clear? So that is it for faithfulness toward God. Is that clear? Now let's move quickly to faithfulness toward your pastor. How can I be faithful toward my pastor? Number 1, pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. You see that the Apostle Paul frequently used the phrase pray for us in his epistles. Have you seen that before? You see that in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 25. You see that again in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. You see also the writer of Hebrews as well used that phrase in Hebrews 13 verse 18. Pray for us. Now who is us? Or who are us? Us there will refer to the pastors. Amen? So Christians are instructed to actually keep their pastors in their prayers. Amen. You know, you pray for his sound health, you pray for his ministry, and you pray for his deliverance from wicked and unreasonable men. Hallelujah. You know, by praying for your pastor, you are by extension praying for yourself. Do you know that? Do you know that? Because it will bless you better. Right? Okay. And also for the nations that will be blessed through him. Right? Okay, so by praying for your pastor, you are praying for yourself and for nations that will be blessed through him. So pray for your pastor, okay? Number 2, know your pastor's vision and make it your vision. Know your pastor's vision and make it your vision. For instance, you know, if you come to this church, you know, we are called Dazzle Church, right? Now, the Dazzle vision is lighting up men, right? Lighting up men. Now, some people don't know what that means. You should find out. I mean, we have a teaching right now, right? On our ministry website, joshbanks.org, right? .org. You know, it gives you the explanation of what that vision means. You know, get it, find out what the vision means, then pray for this vision, right? That it will succeed, right? And then walk toward it. Amen? Amen? There is no point being with a pastor whose vision you don't believe in. Amen? So know your pastor's vision, believe in it, right? Pray for it, right? And work with it. Hallelujah. Now, number 3, publicize your pastor's ministry. publicize your pastor's ministry. Help him reach the world. How would this be done? You share his teachings. You know, I mean, in this church, we have a ministry website that has all our materials free, right? joshbanks.org. Okay? You know, we share it, right? Okay? You know, also buy his materials that are for sale. Amen? Okay? Another thing, share his post. Amen? You know, and actively tell others about them as well. You know, even, in fact, quote him often. Amen? Publicize his meetings and also invite people to church. Hallelujah. You know, for us to reach the world, we would all need to do our part by ensuring we take the word being taught here to the world. Are you seeing that? You know, for Jesus' ministry, when our Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth for 3.5 something years, some people thought that Jesus' ministry was supernatural in the sense that angels were telling people about his ministry. So Jesus Christ wants to go to a town and angels will go and say, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. No. People will actually publicize Jesus' ministry. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jesus had men who publicized his ministry. John chapter 4. Please turn your Bible there, verse 28. It says, the woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man. Do you see that? Who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came to him. Do you see that? So the woman at the well, remember the story, right? The woman at the well, she actually helped around Jesus' ministry at Samaria. You know, there were others like that too in Jesus' ministry. You know, don't keep mute about what God is doing through your pastor's ministry. Amen. You know, let everyone know that you are being blessed here. Hallelujah. And let me say this quickly, that we're really trying in this regard in this church. Amen. I must commend you. I told you that a few months ago. Let me say that again, that we are doing very well, you know, in this area. You know, telling people about church, publicizing, you know, sharing posts here. Amen. So keep it up. Amen. Now, number 4, honor your pastor visibly. Visibly. You know, there is nothing wrong in prostrating or kneeling for your pastor. There is nothing wrong with it. It's simply a show of respect. In John chapter 12, it talks about how Mary, okay, it recalls how Mary washed Jesus' feet with oil. Now, in that tradition, you know, they were Jews. So, feet washing was a way of showing honor. But observe that it was usually done with water, okay? But for Mary, Mary actually used costly oil. That is, she went an extra mile than her culture demanded to show honor to a man of God. There is nothing wrong with that, okay? It's a show of honor. Now, of course, today you are not a Jew, right? So I don't expect you to take oil and start washing my feet. Amen. Or your pastor's feet. But you honor your pastor how culture, you know, best permits. Amen. You know, for some, you know, very funny, they see their pastors walking on the street and they don't greet their pastor. I mean, very strange. You see your pastor walking, or you enter into church and you see the pastor seated there and you just walk past. You know, it's not good enough, amen. You know, you should visibly show, you know, honor. Okay, don't lack training. Let the honor be there. Amen. And make it visible. Amen. Amen. Number 5. Beware of eye service. Be mindful of eye service. Don't do things because you want to be noticed. Genuinely honor your pastor even when you are not recognized or praised for it. Amen. You know, if your faithfulness is genuine, you would not mind being unnoticed. Right? Right? Right, you will simply be doing things because you are loyal, not because you want to be commended. But I give you an illustration in this teaching. Let's say we want to organize a special meeting in Dazzle Church, right? So we put together a team. Then on the meeting of the day of the meeting, you know, the meeting is a success, right? Then pastor comes and pastor is saying, well, for this meeting, I want to thank Brother Tunde, I want to thank Sister Jane, I want to thank Uncle Mayowa, amen, for everything they did for this meeting. And then somebody who was a member of the team is waiting. He must call my name. Ha! Do you know the sacrifices I made for this meeting? He must call my name. And the pastor does not. And he gets offended. Amen? And leaves the church. Say, that pastor is ungrateful. After all I'm doing for the church. You know, if you're truly serving God faithfully, right? Genuinely. You will not mind not being noticed. Right? But those who always like being noticed, you are not serving God faithfully. You're not serving your pastor faithfully. Amen? Amen? So beware of eye service. Is that clear? Number 6. Be ready to serve your pastor in whatever capacity you can without expecting payment. Without expecting payment. You see that in Exodus, people came together and they used their talents to build God's tabernacle. Do you remember that? Without payment. You see the same thing in Leviticus. You see the same thing in Numbers. You see the same thing in 1st and 2nd Kings when the temple was built. Do you remember that? In your Old Testament reading, right? Did you read that? Or you skipped it? Okay. So you see that the 1st and 2nd Kings, you know, when the temple was built, people came together. Okay. You see it again in Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay. When Israel was being rebuilt. So whenever there was a need in God's house, God's people came together to meet that need because they were one. Hallelujah. You know, you see that in the early church as well, that Christians used their natural talents and giftings to serve in their local church without a salary. You know, Acts chapter 6 records those who served as deacons in the church. Okay, those were workers, okay? So that means that, you know, if you are good in a particular area, okay, you should be looking at serving your local church in that area. Amen? You know, if you're good in music, let the leadership know, right? So that you can serve with the choir. Amen? You know, same with interior design, ushering, you know, ICT, or probably you're good at writing articles and all of that, okay? You should be looking for more opportunities, okay, to serve your local church. Hallelujah. I believe that's the very least you can give back, right? To a place where you are being taught God's word well. Amen? Is that clear? Now, next, never talk back at or insult your pastor. Be cautious at all times towards him. Be cautious at all times toward him. Now, you would observe how God's people address their spiritual leaders in the scriptures. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel Pardon me, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Samuel 1, verse 12. It says, "And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth." Do you remember the story? Hannah, the mother of Samuel, right? When she went and she was praying, you know, at Shiloh. Now, verse 13. "Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought," now pay attention, "she was drunk." Now, verse 14, "So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.'" Now, you observe, Eli was wrong about her. Do you see that? It was actually wrong about Hannah. Still, see the way she spoke back to him. You know, if it's today, say, "Hey, do I look like I'm drunk? If you're a man of God, wouldn't you have known that I'm not drunk?" Right? But look at the way she responded back in honor. Look at verse 15. It says, "But Anna answered and said, 'No, my Lord.'" Do you see that? My Lord. Today, that would be sir. Amen? Or pastor. "No, sir. No, pastor." Still talking with him with honor. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? It says, "I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord." Verse 16. "Do not consider," now pay attention, "do not consider your maid servant." You see the kind of words she's using. Do you see that? Okay, "a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." Okay, so in your words, your faithfulness should be seen toward your spiritual leaders. Hallelujah. Your faithfulness should be seen in your words, how you speak to your spiritual leaders. You know, your pastor is not someone you just talk to anyhow, like your friend. Amen. Honor should be in the words you speak towards your leaders. Amen. Amen. Now, number 8, always obey your pastor's instructions. Always obey your pastor's instructions, even when you might not necessarily like it or them. Even when you might not necessarily like them, okay? Don't second guess your pastor's intentions. Know that whatever instruction he gives you is for your good. Amen? So when pastor says pray, pray. Amen? When he says give, give. When he says fast, fast. Amen? You know, we are instructed in the scriptures to obey and submit to spiritual authority. Look at that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, reading from verse 17. It says, "Obey those who rule over you." Do you see that? That will refer to your pastors, your spiritual leaders, and be submissive. Underline that in your Bible. Underline obey. Underline submissive. Hallelujah. For they watch out for your souls. Do you see that? As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. Do you see that? So he says, obey your spiritual leaders, be submissive to them. God and your pastor actually discuss you. Do you know that? Some people don't know. God and your pastor actually discuss you. You don't know that. Your pastor has to give account and reports back to God about how well you are doing. So don't let him do it with tears. You see a pastor crying. Pastor is talking to God about a church member and he's crying. He says, ah, God, Brother Tunde is giving me headache. Ah, God, Brother Tunde. That's grief. Amen? Grief. He says, don't let him do it with grief, but with joy. Let your pastor go before God and say, oh, God, I'm so grateful to you for Bro Gabe. Amen? He's such a blessing to Dazzle Church. Hallelujah. Amen? Imagine if all of us in church obey the instructions given by the pastor. Just imagine that. The pastor says, be in church by 1:30. Everyone is in church by 1:30. Pastor says, pray. Everyone is praying, right? Pastor says, give. Everyone is, things will just go fine, right? We won't waste time. All these things, when pastor says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, it's a waste of time, right? We should be spending that time doing other things. But when you are disobedient, you are causing us to waste time that we should have used for other things. Okay? So now start correcting your bad behavior. Don't be like that. Amen? So I choose to obey. So I choose to be submissive in the name of Jesus. Okay? So obedience would involve receiving instructions, corrections, admonitions, right? And even rebukes from your pastor. And I told you last week that regardless of how the rebukes come. Amen? Some people are angry because of the way the pastor corrected them. The pastor corrects someone and is angry. He says, why did he have to talk to me that way? Is that what you should be saying? Or you should hear what the correction said itself? Right? Right? Okay? It's not wise. Correction is given to you. And instead of you to pay attention to the correction itself, you're saying, why did he have to talk to me that way? You say, pastors should be talking in love now. So what would that mean? Be smiling for somebody. You say, pray. Someone is not praying well. And you should be smiling for the person. Pray now. You're not praying. Come on, pray. No, right? Why are you not praying? What's going on? Is there anything? Are you sick? Right? Is there any issue with you? No. Okay, then pray well. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so regardless of how the correction comes, receive it that way. That's how you get better. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Now, number 9, in your relationship with your pastor, understand that your pastor is the leader and you are the follower. Never forget that. Your pastor is the leader and you are the follower. This means that you are wrong if you try to instruct, correct, or direct your pastor. Amen? That is his role in the relationship. Are you following this? His role in the relationship is to instruct, correct, and direct you. Amen? Not the other way around. Okay, now you can give suggestions, right, on certain issues, but this must be done respectfully, right, in an honorable manner. And your suggestion, being a suggestion, can be accepted or rejected. Amen? Because that's what it is. It's a suggestion. Amen? So don't put so much weight on it. It's a suggestion. Say, okay, pastor, can we do this way? Can we do that this way? And pastor, well, for now, no. Let's just keep doing it this way. Don't get angry. Amen? It was a suggestion. The pastor can tell you, okay, now I want things to go this way in church. I want this way. Because he's the leader there. Amen? Not the other way around. Is that clear? Understood? Okay, number 10. Don't be fond of giving excuses for why you can't be faithful all the time. You will be marked as an unfaithful person. Amen? I told you in this church, once you are someone, once we observe that, you are always giving excuses. You say, come to church. Say, I cannot come. An eagle took my house. Or my transport fare was swallowed by an elephant. That can happen in Nigeria. Amen? Oh, you don't get that. Pray in tongues, you'll get it. Amen? Say, an elephant swallowed my transport fare. So I could not make it to church, pastor. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, pastor. I could not. For me, once I see you are like that, I just mark you immediately. This one cannot be trusted with any responsibility. Amen? I've seen people in church that I gave instructions immediately. Amen. And immediately, they, you know, without convenience, you know, it's very inconvenient. Even me, I knew that, this was not convenient. But the person still went, he did it. Amen. Amen. So if you're someone fond of giving excuses, no, you'll be marked. Amen. So don't be fond of giving excuses. Be faithful, okay? Be committed. Now, number 11, take care of your pastor's physical needs. Take care of your pastor's physical needs. Give to your pastor. You know, the early church did this. They provided for their ministers, okay? They provided for their spiritual leaders. You see how Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. He says, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Are you saying that? If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? That is, spiritual things cannot be quantified. Are you saying this? You know, if you truly wanted to pay your pastor for all the work that he does over you, you can never do that. Amen? So the very least you can do, that's what Paul is saying here, is to meet his material needs. Amen? You know, see it this way. Is a pastor who is fine physically that can bless you. You know, I see some local churches. One day I'm going to talk about this very well. You know, I see some local churches and how they treat their pastors. And it's just very sad. You know, the church members are driving good cars and the pastor is walking to church. Amen. Under the rain. You know, the pastor is falling sick. And there are people in church who are well-to-do who can actually provide, you know, for good health care and all of that. You know, it's very funny. How is he supposed to bless you that way? If he's always on flat on his back every time. Amen. So help your pastor, you know, meet his physical needs. Okay, ensure that his needs are not neglected, okay? Because when that happens, he will not be able to bless you as much as he should. Amen? Is that clear? Now, number 12, mind the kind of jokes you crack about your pastor. Mind the kind of jokes you crack about your pastor. I remember I was in a meeting, and then the pastor, okay, was very funny. So he was just cracking jokes. Amen? No, now, not a comedian in church, okay? He was putting jokes as he was teaching. Okay, so very funny. You know, we're all laughing and all of that. And somebody, one sister just said, pastor is such a clown. He said, clown? Do you know what a clown is? Do you know what a clown is? Pennywise, right? Hallelujah. Pastor is such a clown. A clown cannot bless you. Amen. A clown will give you balloons, right? It'll make you laugh, right? But it can't bless you. So be very careful. You know, as much as you know, your pastor is friendly, he relates with you, you are very... Don't... I almost want to use a word, but I don't want to use it. Be sane. Amen? Be sane. A clown cannot bless you. So always choose to see your pastor in his office. Amen? Be careful of the kind of jokes that you make about your pastor. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, for some people, it's even nicknames. No, that's the next thing we're looking at. Number 13, don't call your pastor by his first name. Okay, simply say pastor. Hallelujah. You know, this is a show of respect and will always help you to see your pastor in his office. Amen. You know, for me, all of my minister friends that I have on my phone, I save their contacts as pastor this, pastor that. You know, they are my friends. In fact, some of them even learn from me. But I save their name as pastor. You know, it's just wise. Because they can also bless me. Amen. But when he does good, Tunde, you just save your pastor's name with his first name. You know, you would just be saying Tunde. Amen. So put pastor. Amen. It's very wise to keep seeing ministry gifts in the office. Beware of nicknames as well. You know, as much as you are close with your pastor, is friendly with you and all of that, beware of nicknames. You know, pastor is fine. Amen. You know, that's how they will be able to bless you well when you see ministry gifts in their office. Hallelujah. Number 14, honor your pastor's family. Honor your pastor's family. That will include his wife and children. Okay, if he doesn't have that yet, okay, others that you know of. You know, you cannot claim to honor pastor and dishonor his family. Are you saying that? But for some people, they honor the pastor, but they dishonor the pastor's wife. Say, I honor you, pastor, but you dishonor the wife. You know, that was very funny. Or they honor the pastor, they dishonor her husband. No. Amen? You know, honor their family as well. It's a show of honor towards them as well. Amen? Number 15, protect your pastor who blesses you from scandal and public scrutiny. Protect your pastor who blesses you from scandal and public scrutiny. Don't join outsiders outsiders to criticize him or scrutinize him. Okay? Publicly defend your pastor. Remember, I told you in this teaching that folks in Nigeria seem to love spreading gist about pastors. Remember, I told you that. Okay? Don't join them. Amen? Keep your mouth mute. Hallelujah. You know, when someone is talking badly about your pastor, I don't see why you are still in that relationship. Are you following what I'm saying? Someone says, I hate your pastor. Your pastor is your pastor. And you say, yeah, we're still friends. How? Amen. Eventually, what he's saying will get to your heart. Amen. So you must protect your heart. Number one, defend your pastor in front of that person. And then that relationship, okay? Thank you. Amen. 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 Okay? Be careful so that those words don't get to your heart. Hallelujah. So always protect your pastor. Always have your pastor's back. Amen. That's what, remember I told you, someone was telling someone in this church one day that you are always speaking well of your pastor. Is he the only pastor? Always speaking well of your pastor. Always speaking well of your pastor. Well, yeah. He's actually the person's pastor. Amen. And even when you see other people in other churches do that, don't say anything. He's their pastor. Amen. So let them defend him whichever way. He's the one blessing them. Do you understand? He's wise. He's just wise. Amen. They need him to bless them every Sunday. Do you understand that? Amen. So, you know, always have your pastor's back. Say no. You know, it's probably something happens and, you know, scandals are coming to scandal soon. You know, something happens and a scandal just suffices. You say, no, my pastor can't do what you're saying he did. Amen. I know my pastor. I'm not going to use all social media. He's saying, I know the man. Amen. Me, I see him every week. You don't. Amen. So I'm going to stand by him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Number 16, always maintain honor for your pastor. Always maintain honor for your pastor. Choose to never see his fault, even when others criticize him. Even when others criticize him. You know, that's similar to number 15. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13 says, to esteem our pastors very highly, not because they are perfect, right? But for their work's sake. For their what? Work's sake. That would be what? Ministry. The work they do over you. Say, my pastor is not perfect. Say, my pastor is not perfect. But I'm instructed in God's word to honor him nonetheless. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? Amen. Now, number 17. Report to your pastor immediately of any unfaithful person in church. Amen. Report to your pastor immediately. You know, someone comes to church and starts gossiping among the church members about the pastor. Immediately let the pastor know. Or the person is trying to usurp his authority. Amen. Immediately let the pastor know. Don't keep quiet when scoffers arise in the local church. You hear what I said? Don't keep quiet when scoffers arise in the local church. No. Let the pastor know immediately. Now, such a person will deal with the leadership. Hallelujah. Now, number 18. Any and all activities in the local church must be permitted by the pastor. Any and all activities in the local church must be permitted by the pastor. Anyone holding Bible study meetings, prayer meetings, or running a ministry aside church without the pastor's permission is wrong. Are you following this? All should be submitted to the pastor. Okay? Don't put together Bible study meetings or prayer meetings with other church members outside what is already being done in church. Amen. And without the pastor's knowledge, that is disorderly, untidy, and unruly. Amen. Amen. You know, some people come around in church and they say, okay, they come to the church member and say, we're holding fellowship as a church. Just come around. Church is already holding fellowships, right? They say, let's just meet after church. Why? In church, there are already meetings in church, right? There are already assignments being given in church, right? There are already prayer times every day, right? We have our prayer chain every day, right? Okay? We have assignments every day, right? Well, every day. Is the Lord saying something? Speak, Lord, for your son hears. Assignment every day, okay? Okay. So, back to this now. You know, we have assignments every month, right? Yeah! So, somebody now comes around and says, come, I know pastor is blessing us, but just come around after service. He now gathers the church members together and he's telling them something different from what the pastor is teaching in the church. That's untidy. Amen? Disorderly. Immediately you spot such a person, report them to the pastor immediately. Immediately. Amen? You know, let me say this as well that, you know, if probably you came to this church from another church, okay, and in that church you were a leader,
Okay, let's say you were a pastor there, right? Or probably you had one particular leadership or position or authority position there. You know, that doesn't make you a leader here. Are you following this? That doesn't make you a leader here. Here, they are already leaders in this place. Amen? So what do? You submit to the authority here. Amen? You know, then we will test you. No, don't just come and say, I was an apostle in my former church. No, you are now in Dazzle Church. Hallelujah. Amen. We will not test you. Say, okay, how well do you pray? We'll be looking at you. How well do you pray? Okay. How well do you do assignments? Do you submit your assignments on time? How is your assignment like? Can somebody, a 10-year-old, read your assignment and understand it? Amen. You know, how well do you give? When we say come for outreaches, evangelism, do you come around, or you're one always giving excuses? Then after we've tested you very well, before any leadership position, you can be considered. Amen. Considered for any leadership position. But don't think because you came from somewhere here, you know, that automatically means that no. Amen. You submit to the leadership here. Amen. Okay. Now also in this teaching, you were warned against side chick pastoring. I have to reiterate that again. Amen. Side chick pastoring. Now what is that? You know, having multiple pastors or multiple churches. You know, you cannot have plenty churches. Remember I tell you, you cannot have plenty pastors. Amen. Having different pastors, you cannot listen to every pastor in the body of Christ. You cannot read every pastor's book in the body of Christ. You cannot listen to every pastor's teaching in the body of Christ. You cannot attend every church in the body of Christ. I mean, how do you want to turn out listening to 20 different pastors with 20 different messages or slangs of teaching? You know, you will stifle your growth that way, right? You know, the Bible does not teach having many pastors or having many spiritual leaders. Okay, the Bible actually warns against it. Amen. You will notice that this was the issue with the Corinthian church. Amen. They had too many teachers, and that's why they were not growing spiritually. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading from verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." You see that? Underline that in your Bible, as to babes in Christ. So they were not growing spiritually. Why? Verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." Verse 3, "For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Now see their problem, verse 4, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" Are you seeing that? I seen that. So that was a problem. Some people, there were divisions in the church. Okay. Paul was the leader in that church. Paul actually established that local church, but they began listening to other preachers aside the leader in the church. Now Paul mentions Apollos, right? Then in verse 23, he mentions Cephas. Cephas is Peter. Okay. You know, you can't grow that way. You can't grow that way. Okay. Preacher, you are listening to three different preachers. Preacher A tells you that, Jesus is God's brother. Amen. Amen. Preacher B says, no, Jesus is God's uncle. Preacher C comes and tells you, I have a deeper revelation. Jesus is God's father. And you are listening to three of them. How do you want to grow that way? Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you want to grow that way? Hallelujah. You know, it's impossible. Imagine if you learnt in school that way. You know, you read three different textbooks, right? By three different authors with three different opinions on a subject. And you take all of that and you want to write it in the exam. You know you will fail. You know you will fail. That's the same thing with church. You will fail too in ministry. You will fail too in the things of the spirit. Because you will be hearing different things. You will be a spiritual schizophrenic. Amen? Have a pastor. Hallelujah. So look at Paul's solution for the Corinthian church. You know, his solution is very simple. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. He says, "I do not write these things to you." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you." Verse 15. "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ." Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? "Yet you do not have" what? "Many fathers." Underline that in your Bible. 10,000 instructors, but what? "Not many fathers. For in Christ, I have. Who is I? Singular. Are you saying that? "I have begotten you through the gospel." Paul, right? Verse 16. "Therefore, I urge you, imitate" who? "Me." Are you saying that? One person, right? me. Verse 13, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So he says, imitate me, one person. You know, he repeats the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Are you saying that? So you must have, hey, local church, singular. And you must submit singularly or solely to its pastor. Hallelujah. That is the only way you grow. Remember last year, the Lord gave us an illustration concerning this. The Lord warned us very well last year. You know, the Lord gave us an illustration. He said, take a plant, right? A plant is in a soil. The plant is supposed to grow in that soil, right? Then you keep, let's say the plant is, please pay attention to this. The plant is 1 month, right? And then you uproot the plant, put it in another soil. Think about that. A plant is growing in one soil, then you uproot it, put it in another soil. As it's still growing, you uproot it, put it in another soil. It hasn't finished growing, you uproot it again. Can that plant grow? It would die eventually. That's what happens when you have multiple influences doctrinally. Stay in one place and grow there. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, if you are convinced that the Lord wants you to be a member here, then stay here and grow here. Are you following this? Okay. You know, when you have too much diverse information in your head, you will start interpreting what the pastor is teaching with other information in your mind. Have you observed that? You know, if your pastor, like the illustration I gave, Pastor A tells you that Jesus is God's uncle, and then your pastor comes and tells you, no, Jesus is the son of God. You say, but Pastor A said that Jesus is the uncle. You see, you're confusing yourself already, right? You say, so who is now correct like this? Too much information. Too much information. Just stay in one place and grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I believe that in this church, we are learning God's word very well, right? Okay. You know, I tell you about myself, you know, how sometimes I take 12 hours to study the Bible. Amen. You know, that is, I told you about the time when accidentally I did that. Just 12 hours. That happened accident. That was a mistake. Are you following this? That was a mistake. I didn't plan to. I just started reading from 6 a.m. and I was just looking at something like that until 6 p.m. Amen. That was, I said, now deliberately, I've done more than that. I've done 24 hours sometimes. Sometimes I've done 1 month. Sometimes I've done 1 year. All I was doing in that one was just reading the Bible, studying the Bible, then maybe eating in between, then maybe sleeping. If I coming talking about sleeping, I can't remember when last I slept well. I can't remember. That's the truth. I can't remember when last I actually slept well. Now look at this COVID-19 period. I told you, some of you used it to play. I dare not do that. Let me even tell you that, you know, in this church, everything I'm going to teach you for the next 10 years, I've prepared it already. Amen? Amen? For the next 10 years, that is 2031 thereabout, I've prepared it already. It's here already. Do you know how many hours went into that? How many sleepless nights? How many, you know, I studied to some point that I started having headaches. I had to see a doctor because of that. Amen? And still I haven't stopped. Amen? Yeah. So the leadership is trying their best in this place just to ensure you are fed very well. So what is the least you can do? Just stay here and learn. Amen. You know, stop looking for side chick pastors all around. There are some things pastor is not saying. Let me find it outside. You will find what you're looking for. Amen. You will find what you're looking for. Just stay in one place and learn. Amen. You know, if something has not been taught you now, it will be taught you. If it hasn't been taught you now, that means you don't need it now. Amen. whatever you need to learn. And I promise God, I promise myself, and I'm promising you today as church, okay, people in church, that anything you need to know from God's word, you will know it. As long as I'm the one, you will know it eventually. So just be patient. Amen. You know, and just learn God's word well here. Amen. So, you know, stop looking all around, you know, just looking for pastors, you know, all around and all of that. You know, be committed to your local church. No, it's not fair to them. Do you know? You don't have any intention to be committed to someone, but you keep asking him questions. You know, it's not fair to the person. What are you doing? You don't have any intention committed to us, but you're asking him Bible questions. You know, it's not good enough. Amen. So let your pastor's voice be the loudest in your ears. Please write that down. Let your pastor's voice be the loudest in your ears. Amen. Let his teaching have the most impact in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here so far? Now, number 19, missing church meetings is prohibited. Missing church meetings is prohibited. You know, if at all you will not be in church, you must let pastor know ahead of time. And what are you letting him know? You are doing so to seek for permission, not for information's sake. Amen. Now, hear these two statements. Pastor, I won't be able to make it to church today. Write that down. Pastor, I won't be able to make it to church today. Now, write statement number two. Pastor, can I be permitted to be absent from church today? You see the difference? What's the difference? One is stating a fact, right? You've made up your mind, right? Another one is saying, can I be permitted, right? Seeking for permission, right? And then you, after you say that, you know, it's not just, can I be permitted? You now state, what is the emergency? What is going to keep you from not being in church today? Amen? You know, then after you do that, your pastor can still say yes or no to your request for permission. Are you following this? Are you following this? And I also told you that in this church, excuses like it was raining doesn't hold water. No pun intended. But saying things like it was raining, you know, that's why I could not make it to church. Like I usually tell you, well, if your wife was in labor and it was raining, would you take her to the hospital? Or you would say, no, it's raining. The rain is too hard. Let's just wait at home and trust the Holy Ghost. Just be pushing in the Holy Ghost. I'll be speaking in tongues. Will that work? Huh? Will that work? Is that what you do? Or you hear a news that, oh, your dad, that won't happen. Your dad just got involved in an accident, right? He's in the hospital in critical condition and it's raining. No, it's raining. The rain is too hard. My skin is so delicate. I don't want the ash rain to touch my skin. Is that what you do? You run out in the rain, right? Right? You know, in fact, when you get there, you won't even know that it's raining. It's when you get to the place, say, hey, your body is wet though. did you swim on your way here? I didn't even notice, right? Because there was a parody, right? Something you were looking at. Now, how much more church? Hallelujah. So, obviously, your issue is just priority. If you say it's raining and you don't come to church because of rain, your issue is priority. Amen? Some things will happen that with or without rain, you will find your way there. Amen? So, church should be one of those things. Are you here? Are you here? Now, number 20. This is something I observed that I just want to say. You know, it is wise to use your pastor's Bible translation. Amen? It is wise to use your pastor's Bible translation. You know, for sometimes I observe that I'm quoting a verse and people in the audience are seeing something different. Amen. Amen. Then I ask a question, that are you here? Then they are quiet because what they are seeing in their Bible is not what I'm seeing. Do you understand? So if that's the case, I know the way we teach here, we go back to the original words, look at the, you know, you would need definitely to use your pastor's translation because the words might differ in translation, right? So, you know, just do that. You know, it's just something you can do that will help you more. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope you know the translation I use. What is it? The New King James, right? Okay. So please just do that, okay? Now, number 21, it is wise to stop where your pastor stopped in a teaching. It is wise to stop where your pastor stopped in a teaching. Don't try to study further till your pastor says so. This is some people, the pastor is teaching, right? And there's still a long way to go, right? And then they try to go further than the pastor has said. Say, there's some revelation here that the pastor didn't really say. So let me find something else. Amen? Let me find something deeper than what pastor said. You know, that is not really wise. Amen. Stop where you are. Stop. Most times when people try to study further, that's when they fall into error. Amen. What your pastor has said, leave it like that. You know, what he has not said, don't try to find it out yet. Eventually, you will. Because he will teach it eventually. So there is no rush in any way. Amen. Number 22. You cannot claim faithfulness to your pastor and dishonor those whom he has put in charge, or giving one responsibility or the other. You cannot claim faithfulness to your pastor and dishonor those who he has put in charge, or giving one responsibility or the other. Your faithfulness to your pastor is seen in your faithfulness to those he has appointed over you. Why are you saying that? You know, that would include your department leaders, your cell group pastors, the ushers, right? and those who lead prayers. You know, some people are very funny. They say, I like pastor, but I don't like the usher in church. So they come to church, and then the usher says, please sit here. I say, they look at it and say, young lady, excuse me, I don't want to sit here. I say, you honor the pastor. Who put the usher there? The pastor did, right? So you cannot claim you are honoring the pastor, and you dishonor those you put in charge. Or, you know, for some people, the people who lead prayers in the beginning of the service come here, and they are praying, and they are looking. You are dishonoring the pastor. He is leading you to do what? To pray. So what should you do? Pray. Amen? The person says, be on your feet. The person is sitting down. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 1. The person is looking. Amen? You are dishonoring the pastor that way. You cannot claim to honor the pastor and dishonor those he put in charge. I feel like this, those he gave responsibility to. Hallelujah. Number 23, not submitting pastors' assignments, reports, or tests on time is a show of unfaithfulness. Not submitting pastors' assignments, reports, or tests on time is a show of unfaithfulness. You know, for me, it paints you like someone that cannot be trusted with little things. Amen. If I cannot trust you to submit your assignment at the time that you were instructed to, then that means you cannot be trusted with bigger things. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, you know, it's a sign of unfaithfulness. You must not do that. Now, number 24. If you are always cold or unresponsive when your pastor is teaching, it just might be a sign of unfaithfulness. If you're always cold or unresponsive, now that sounds a bit extreme, right? But now let me give you an illustration. We're in church, and the pastor cracks a joke, and everyone laughs, and you go, or you roll your eyes, you ease, or you doesn't, or you do your face, look at me like this. You don't react to anything. No, the pastor, everyone else is reacting. No, pastor says, are you here? Say, yes, sir. And is everything fine? Yes, sir. And everyone is responsible. But you, hallelujah. You know, it might just be a sign that you are getting offended at your pastor. I'm telling you what I have seen. Don't say, but are you sure, pastor? Are you sure that's not too extreme? I'm telling you what I've seen. You know, somebody in church is just angry with the pastor. He says, I'm not going to respond. Anything he says, I'm not going to respond. Okay? The pastor is talking. No. Don't be like that, okay? Be responsive. Being unnecessarily cold, you know, it's like a litmus test that there's something not right. Amen? Amen. So, you know, be responsive. You ask questions, you respond, you know. Jokes are meant to be laughed at. Amen? Amen. Okay, all right. So, you know, you can laugh at a joke while, you know, some people say, I'm a word man, don't laugh at jokes. So when the pastor cracks a joke, they are just busy writing. Busy writing. You can be writing and laugh, amen. You don't have to, you know, hallelujah, you know. We can have all of that, you know, in the local church. Hallelujah. Now, number 25. When leadership puts their trust in you, it is a terrible thing to break that trust in betrayal. When leadership put their trust in you, it is a terrible thing to break that trust in betrayal. Remember, we saw that throughout this teaching, right? Betrayal is not an option for the believer. Don't be an Ahithophel. Don't be an Absalom. Okay? Don't be a Judas. Don't be a Demas. Choose to follow good examples in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Be an Epaphroditus. Be a Timothy, right? Remember, we saw those people, right? Be a Onesimus. Okay? Faithful people. Be someone who is trustworthy. Never betray the trust that your pastor has put in you. Okay? The believer must not be a betrayer. Is that clear? Now, number 26. Don't misuse the access given to you by your pastor. Always honor access. Never allow over familiarity to set in, because most times over familiarity breeds disrespect. Over familiarity breeds disrespect. You know, it's easy to become too familiar with a man you see every week. Come on. Yeah. I remember for me, years ago, I was part of a local church, not the pastor there, just a member there. And I observed that the pastor in the church, at some point, we became very used to him. Amen? We became very used to him, and I just observed that he wasn't blessing us. Now, I'm very observant. Okay? So, once I see those things, immediately I spot it. I say, this man used to bless us before. What's going on? Amen? Till I realized that we actually became too familiar with the man. Amen? What, in our colloquial terms, we call see finish. Amen? Let me know, see finish. You are already used to someone. Then I said, okay, I started observing something. Then he was invited to preach somewhere. Okay? Then I went to the meeting. And when I went to the meeting, I saw that he was blessing people outside the meeting than we in his church. Come on. Come on. Come on. And I said, there's something not right here. So I had to correct myself immediately. I said, I'm becoming too familiar with this man. So I withdrew. Amen. Not that you'll be calling him by 2 a.m. Amen. Too much familiarity. Unless there is an emergency. Amen. Say, Pastor, I just want to gist with you. Let's just talk. Say, have you eaten this evening, Pastor? You know, what does it will breed disrespect eventually. Amen. So, as much as possible, don't abuse access. Remember, we saw that in Mark 6, 1 to 6. It says that Jesus Christ could do no mighty works in his hometown. He went to his hometown, right? He could do no mighty works there. Why? Because the people there felt, we know you. Do you understand? No, don't get too familiar with your pastor. He won't be able to bless you anymore. Always choose to see your pastor in his office. This is my pastor. This is the person that God has put over my life to bless me. Amen? Once you start, once the familiarity starts getting too much, what I do, me personally, okay, for ministers that I respect and I have relationship with, I just withdraw. Okay? And I start looking at them again in that office. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. So always honor God's men that he has sent to bless you. Is that clear? Now, lastly, number 27, commitment to your pastor is till the very end. Anything otherwise is disloyalty. Commitment to your pastor is till the very end. Anything otherwise is disloyalty. Amen. You know, there's a way we don't really know what church is. You know, especially in Nigeria here, where we just think that a church is like clothes. So I can remove clothes, or pastor is like clothes. I can change my pastor anytime. No. Amen. If you're convinced in your heart that this is a person God has put over me, right, to bless me, right, and to have spiritual oversight over me, stay with him till the very end. Amen. There is such a thing as staying with one person. You know, people don't like that. Just one pastor. Yes, it can happen. Amen. Stay with your one pastor. Stay with your pastor till the very end. Amen. Anything less than this will be what? Disloyalty. Remember, we define faithfulness as what? Staying consistent as you are till the very end. Amen. Anything less than this is not faithfulness. Okay. And remember, I told you that a person is not called faithful because he began. A person is called faithful because he ended. Till the very end. It's till the very end. Let us see you till the very end. What is the end? The end. Amen. As long as you are alive. Amen. So is that clear? Okay, thank you very much. Now let's move on quickly to faithfulness to other church members in your local church. The faithfulness code to other church members. That is a new subheading. To other church members in your local church. Now, number one, be warm, cordial, and friendly to other church members. Be warm, cordial, and friendly with other church members. Don't be proud, nasty, or saucy in the local church. You know, the epistles actually speak of greeting each other with a holy kiss. Have you seen that before in your Bible? Or a kiss of peace. You see that in Romans 16 verse 16, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 20, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 26, and 1 Peter 5 verse 14. Let me come again with that. Romans 16 verse 16, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 20, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 26, and 1 Peter 5 verse 14. Now, what is a kiss of peace or holy kiss? Now, it was a Jewish custom back then to show fellowship, okay, or to show relationship. That was a Jewish custom. So when they wanted to show another person that they love that person, okay? Are you here? They would give that person a holy kiss. Now, of course, we are in the 21st century, right? And that was their culture back then. That was their custom. So, you know, it would be funny for someone to take this verse and say, we are instructed in the Bible to greet one another with a holy kiss, right? and meets a sister and says, can we have the holy kiss? You know, that does not make any sense. In our culture today, the holy kiss will be a holy handshake. Do you get that? A warm smile. How are you, sir? Amen? Okay? Any, you know, using culture, your culture, how your culture permits for you to honor others. Okay? That's basically what he's saying. And you know, we are family. Amen? Say we are family. Look at Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do you see that? He calls the church that what? The household of faith. The word household there means one family. Okay, it means we are one family. Kindred. Hallelujah. Say we are one family. Say we are one family. Say we are one family. Come on. Say we are kindred. Hallelujah. You know, this means that you should spend time talking with other church members after church. Don't just rush out. Amen. Some people do this. They come in late and they leave early. Amen. No, no. Build strong relationships in the local church. Hallelujah. You know, in the local church are spiritual relationships. Okay? Supernatural relationships. You know, build those relationships. You know, you don't know that the blessing God wants to give you might be with your the person sitting next to you. But you just rush out immediately. I remember there was a time in my life when I had something I was very confused about, God's plan in my for my life, you know, in a particular area of my life. Not ministry, okay? And I was just very confused because I knew that, okay, let me do this. But if I do this, will I need? Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm not confusing you. Sorry. I just needed to know God's plan about something, okay? Now, I remember I've been thinking about, praying about it, but I didn't seem to have any leading per se, okay? There was no clear leading on what God wanted me to do. And I just went to my local church one day, okay? And I sat with a brother. Then we had a believers meeting, right? Then we looked at each other. We edified one another. And in that meeting, the brother gave me the exact, hallelujah, the exact direction I needed. How he knew is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen? But he gave me the exact direction I needed. Amen? You know, that's what we do to each other in the local church. Amen? Supernatural relationships abound in the local church, okay? So make good use of them. Exactly. Build strong relationships. After church, don't just leave. Know the name of the person sitting close to you. Amen? Amen. Say we are one. Say we are one. Hallelujah. Number two, pray for other church members. Pray for other church members. Now, obviously, the Pauline prayers primarily, right? Remember the Pauline prayers? Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, Philippians 1, Ephesians 3, we often miss that out, and Philemon 1. Hallelujah. That the eyes of the understanding are enlightened. The greatest prayer you can pray for another believer is prayer for knowledge. Are you following this? So pray for other believers, okay, that they grow in the knowledge of God's word. Hallelujah. Also, you know, pray that other saints in your local church are not given to strife. Amen. Always keep praying for peace in the local church. Peace in the local church. Say, in Dazu Church, Father, I pray, there is always peace in this church. No one is given to strive. No one is offended. Amen. We all are in one accord and in unity. Amen. Amen. Now, number three, help them in time of need. That's other church members, right? Help them in time of need. Romans 12, verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Do you see that? So celebrate with them. Are you following this? Mourn with them, with your fellow church members. You know, if something happens with your fellow church member, probably it loses a relative. You know, come around. Just say, is everything fine? Is there any way I can help you? Now, Lord, if you hear a church member is not feeling too well, you know, we can organize visits, right? To go see the person, right? Okay? So, you know, we must be one with one another. Now, number four. Now, this one is one I want you to pay attention very well to. Okay? You must defend your brother and sister in times of scandals. Are you following this? You must defend your brothers and sisters in the local church, right? In times of scandals, never join outsiders to speak bad of your church or its members. Are you following this? Are you following this? Are you following this? You know, my father, that's my biological father, he used to tell us something. He says, when you go outside and you see an outsider beating your brother, he says, join your brother and beat. Now, it's an instruction in the flesh. but it will help pass across what I'm trying to say. It says, John, your brother, beat up a person, right? Don't allow an outsider beat your brother and kill him. Because if he kills him, who will you play with? No one, right? So he says, join your brother, beat the other person. Then when you get home, say, but what you did was not good. Correct him in private. But don't slaughter your brother outside. Amen? Amen? Correct him in private. So that means, you know, probably you hear something, a scandal, you know, something happens with somebody in church, probably in here, we just hear that Brother Tunde did something and it goes all over the social media as it usually does. Amen? Your job is to protect him. No. He can't do that. Amen? 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 You stand by his side regardless of what other people are saying outside. Amen? And I observe something. That in the local church, when scandals arise for people, do you observe how easily we try to dissociate from them? Come on. Come on. You know what I'm saying. Probably we hear that, Sister So-so-so probably got pregnant out of wedlock. Just an example, okay? Do you observe how immediately, we just distance ourselves from such person? That's not good. Amen? It's not good. You know, that's not the pattern we see in scripture. It's very wrong. Hallelujah. When a Christian falls into sin, that's not the time to avoid him. Amen? Amen. But the time to draw him closer. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Are you here so far? Okay? Look at Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, do what? Run away from him. Come on, run away from him. Avoid him quickly. Do PR, right? Release a statement and say, we don't identify with so. We don't know him. You know that's what they do in many churches. Come on. It's like they are more interested in saving their own image than their brother. Very wrong. Amen? What does he say? Restore. Say restore. Say my brother's scandal is an opportunity for me to restore him, not to destroy him. Hallelujah. He says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. Are you seeing that? Okay? And so fulfill the law of Christ. Hallelujah. So when issues arise, that's not the time to avoid a Christian. Okay? Draw him closer. Amen. Amen. You know, I was looking, there's a celebrity I know. Amen. And recently, he was accused of some scandals here and there. And, you know, he acts in a show, okay, a TV show, and I just saw the way, I really love what happened. You know, that's I'm giving as an example in church today. I love the way his castmates just came together and said, no, we are behind this person. All of them came together and said, no, we are supporting this. This person cannot do what you are saying he did. Amen? They are not saved though. Come on. They are not saved. They don't have the Spirit of Christ. Amen? That is just in the world. How much more believers? Hallelujah. You know, for another time, I remember this one was even someone I knew, okay? Someone I knew, and then there was a scandal that surfaced around concerning him, and it was all over the social media. Then I was with some people, and then they were talking about the issue, okay? And probably they were expecting me to chime in, to say something, but they know me, I don't say anything, I'll just be looking at you. I turned my face away. They say, this man, he calls himself a leader in the church. Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? He's this, blah, 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 blah. I was looking at them. Then I said, Pastor Josh, won't you say something? You know, Association of Alabusi. Say something now. Say something. I said, okay. He's on social media, right? I said, okay, bring your phone. So I took the phone. I said, now look at the comment section. Of what this is scandal, right? Now look at the comment section. Now we looked at it together. I showed them that who committed the scandal? This man, right? But who are they insulting? Now look at this comment section. The church is rubbish. These church people are hypocrites. This is the reason why I don't go to church. I cannot trust anyone in the church. What are they saying? Is it the man they are calling or the church? The church. So you are very silly to think that by distancing yourself from the person you are successfully protected your PR. No. Amen. when pastors fall into scandals, what did they say? It's the church. Ah, that is men of God, right? Yeah. Not the pastor, the man who did it, men of God. As though every person is like that. Right? When somebody enjoys, ah, the church is like that. You know, it's very funny. Imagine we're in a camp. Now, I want to picture something in your head, okay? Picture something in your head. We're in a camp, and someone gives him a bomb. Let's say this is a camp, okay? Someone gives him a bomb. Now, that bomb is supposed to explode now. Okay, in 10 seconds. Then you say, ah, and that's his business. We are all together. Amen? We are all in the same place. That's his business. Just don't mind him. We are sharp. We are here. But he is there. You know, the bomb was given to him. The bomb is supposed to explode with him. And we are here. When the bomb explodes, who is going to feel it? Him, right? First of all. But who else? All of us. Right? So why not help him detonate the bomb? To save all of us. Right? 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 So never join outsiders. No. To slander your church members. No. Defend them. Defend them. Say, well, Pastor, you are just saying it because you are a lawyer. Well, Jesus too is a lawyer. Amen? 1 John 2, chapter 1. Says, my little children, I write to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate. Right? With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So Jesus Christ is called what? An advocate. What's an advocate? A defense attorney. Amen? Somebody who defends a bad person. So Jesus defends bad people. So I'm just following after Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So I'm not going to join outsiders to insult, break down, destroy my brother. No. Okay? I'm not going to identify with him when he's reigning on the throne. Even when he's in the mud, I'll be with him there. Because that's what Jesus Christ did to me. Amen. He identified with me when I was in my sin. So I'm going to do the same for my brother. Look at the person next to you. If you don't have any person, talk to yourself. Amen. Look at the person next to you. Say, brother. Say, brother. Or if it's a sister, say, sister. Say, brother, sister, we are one. You can trust me to defend you when you fall into trouble. I will always have your back. Every time. I'm never going to join outsiders to destroy you. No. I have your back at all times. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are to identify with fellow believers. We are one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul uses the imagery of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. He says, but now, indeed, there are many members, but yet what? One body. One body. Are you saying that? Are you saying that? 21. And the eye cannot stand, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Are you saying that? We all need each other. Are you saying that? Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need for you. Verse 22. No. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Number two, verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Are you saying that? And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Verse 24. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Verse 25. That there should be no schism or division. Are you saying that? In the body. But that the members should have the care for what? One another. Are you saying that? Verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Are you saying that? Are you saying that? Are you saying that? Okay. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Are you saying that? So we are one body. We are one. We all suffer together, okay? And we rejoice together, okay? So when a fellow believer falls into sin, that's not the time to draw him, to push him aside. The only time we're instructed in the epistles to do that is when the Christian refuses to repent. You know, you see somebody who is boasting in his sin. And the only illustration we have of that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which records the story of the immoral brother who had his father's wife. Okay, so he took his mother as his concubine. And he was happy. He didn't care. So Paul says, no, for such a one, okay, now we are not dealing with somebody who fell into sin and is sorry. We are not dealing with someone who fell into sin in that case and is sorry. We are dealing with someone who is now comfortable in a lifestyle of sin. For such a one, Paul instructs, okay, that such a person, excommunicate him. He says, deliver him unto Satan. That's what that phrase means. Excommunicate him. Why? So that he doesn't infect others. Because this is not somebody who cares about what he's doing. He doesn't now care. Okay, it's giving a lackadaisical attitude. But for the ones who truly fall into sin, okay, and they repent and, you know, they are not comfortable in that lifestyle, okay, we are instructed to what? restore. Are you following this? Restore. Just like Jesus did. Amen. Now, I believe that in the coming years, I'm going to teach in the body of Christ how to undo scandals. And we'll look at it from God's word. Because I feel most people don't, most churches don't know how to do it. Most times when people have, when people fall into sin or something, the church just quickly goes into PR state immediately. PR mode. No, let's protect ourselves. What would people say about us? No, it's not good. You know, people don't have to know what is going on. Do you understand that? If something happens in this church now, it doesn't have to leave the four corners of this wall. It doesn't have to. So, you know, we are not supposed to chase imperfect people in church, okay? We are accepting everyone. We love everybody, garbage and all. Amen? We don't discriminate you because of your past. We know that in Christ you have a bright future. Amen? Amen? And we look forward to that bright future. Hallelujah. And we will help you accomplish that bright future. Amen? We won't chase you away. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Now, number five. Don't gossip about other church members. Still looking at this. Do not gossip about other church members. Now, as church grows, more people come around, right? Now, this means that more relationships are being formed. And in relationships, there are bound to be scruffles here and there. No, scruffles, issues here and there. And like we said, you know, in this teaching, when matters arise, don't publicize it to outsiders. Amen? Don't publicize it to outsiders. Non-members of church don't need to know issues going on in church. Hallelujah. Okay? So learn to protect the privacy of others. Remember, we said that's walking in love, right? 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 The only parties that should know is you, the person you have the issue with, and the pastor. Amen? Amen? Are you here? Okay. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, Paul rebuked the Corinthian church for taking their matters outside to be settled. Do you remember that? You know, they were taking their matters outside church to be settled. When he says to them, don't you have anyone in church who is well able to do that? Why are you taking your matters outside? Okay? So, don't be given to that, okay? Okay? Gossiping about other believers in this church is highly prohibited. Okay? You observe that in the book of Acts, whenever they fought, they didn't have time to pray. Do you observe that? Just look through the book of Acts. Whenever they fought, you know, they were doing ministry, but any chapter where they fought or there were any issues, they didn't have time to pray. They didn't have time to study their Bibles. They didn't have time to evangelize. They were now using that time to settle matters. So you see, all those kind of things actually distract us from doing things that really matter. Do you understand? Do you understand? We should be spending time reaching the lost rather than gossiping about each other. Amen? So say this, in Dazu Church, say in Dazu Church, we don't gossip about each other. Or about the leadership. We spend our time doing better things. Things that matter. Hallelujah. Number six. Don't form cliques in the local church. Don't form cliques in the local church. We are all one. You know, you see a beautiful picture of unity in the early church. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Acts chapter 2. Verse 46. It says, so continuing with one accord. Do you see that? Underline that in your Bible. Continuing with what? One accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Do you see that? Underline that again in your Bible. Acts 2:46. That's where we are. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Are you seeing that? Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So they were together in one accord. Okay? You know, this speaks of unity. Amen? With one another. You know, don't form groups or cliques in the local church. You know, you say, Awani, Awani, yo. Ele, ele. Awani, Awani, yo. Songo. You know, probably you come to church, which is, sorry for butchering your language. I'm sorry about that. You know, you are coming to church together with someone. Now I'm not Yoruba speaking, amen. So this, have mercy on me. You know, we are coming, probably you're coming to church with someone from Oyo. So all of you come together. So you know that you will be close. So you will now come to church and start forming cliques. You now sit down together. You'll be going, you know, if we're not careful, you can start doing something in the local church that should not be done. Amen. Or probably you're coming from LLE. So all of us, we are the ones from LLE. So you carry the cab to church. So, we are the ones from LLE. No. Don't, like I told you earlier, don't form cliques. Amen. Talk to, be cordial with everyone. Amen. We are all one and we are all family. Hallelujah. Amen. Number seven. Are you tired? Okay. Number seven, give to meet the needs of your local church. Give to meet the needs of your local church. We see this in the early church as well. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Are you seeing that? They had all things in common, verse 45, and sold their possessions. Are you seeing this? And goods, and divided them among all. Hallelujah. As anyone had need. Such generosity. Are you seeing this? Look at Acts 4, chapter verse 32. Acts 4, verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. Do you see that? But they had all things in common. Do you see that? Verse 33. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Verse 34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Do you see that? Do you see that? For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them. Do you see this? And brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as everyone had need. Verse 36. And Joseph, who also was named Barnabas by the apostles, who is translated son of encouragement, Levite of the country of Cyprus, verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Do you see that? Do you see that? So they all contributed to meet the needs of other believers and of the local church. We can learn from this today. Okay? Don't wait till you are coerced or manipulated before you give. You know, I used to tell you this. You know, don't wait till a pastor promises you what Jesus died to give you before you give. Amen. Amen. Simply give because you love people. Don't wait to say, there is a special grace in this church today. Say, I sense a special grace in the atmosphere. The first people who will give 1,000, you will connect with a special. You don't need that. Just give. Amen. Amen. Don't wait till you are manipulated. Give. Hallelujah. That is the pattern we find in the early church. Now, number eight, honor the gathering of saints in your local church. Honor the gathering of saints in the local church. Church is not a place where you act anyhow. No. There is a way to behave in church. Look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Are you there? Are you there? 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought toward conduct yourself. Are you seeing that? In the house of God. So there is a how. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So there is a way to actually behave in church. Hallelujah. You must be disciplined. Are you following what I'm saying? You must be disciplined. Discipline means you are punctual to service. Hallelujah. Discipline means you come to church with your Bible, a notepad, a functioning pen. Not only that, you write when your pastor is teaching. Not that you keep looking at his face. Amen. The pastor says, turn to Philemon 1:6. And the congregation is looking at his face. Is Philemon 1:6 on the face? Look at your Bible. Amen. Amen. It's not on his face. Look at your Bible. Amen. Okay. So, you know, that don't be rude in the local church. Don't be rude. Don't flaunt rules. And don't disobey instructions. You know, some people are like that. They lift up your hands. Their hands are in their pocket. Lift up your hands. They are folding their hands. No, don't do that. Pray when you are told to pray. Amen. Amen. Don't be lackadaisical. Also, let me say that going out to receive calls during service is unruly. Very unruly. You know, also walking out to use the toilet, you know, and all of that. You know, you should have done all of that before the service. You know, it's interesting that the preacher never says, excuse me, I want to use the toilet when he's preaching. Have you observed that? No, the pastor never says, please, 1 minute, I want to quickly use the toilet, and he walks out. Do you understand? He remains where he is till the end of the meeting. So why not you? Amen. You know, you are going for church, and the church is in a few minutes, and you buy every liquid you can find on your way down. Say, you take that, you drink it. Say, Sprite, you drink now. At the gate, you get, you drink that one. And you know you're coming to a place where you will need to sit down for hours. Then you will not be disturbing the service, going out. No. You know what I do? 2 hours before the meeting, I don't take anything. Amen. Amen. That's what I do personally too. Because I don't want any issues. Now I have to stand up, keep moving. No, you don't have to do that. Amen. You know, also things like chatting on your phone during service. You know, that for me is a show of how much you dishonor God. You are chatting on your phone during service. It shows you dishonor God and you dishonor the guardian of the saints. I remember I went for an all night one day and somebody was updating his WhatsApp status. We're praying and all night. Somebody was updating his WhatsApp status. Ha! God help me in this prayer meeting I'm doing. We're praying. And it's updating. So, oh, God, I'm in your hands tonight, Lord. Updating his WhatsApp status. Another one again, we were in church during worship and we're all lifting up our hands. And she would lift up her hands. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And she would take our WhatsApp. She would chat quickly and she would drop it. Say, oh, hallelujah, thank you. She would take our WhatsApp. We had to say, excuse me, is everything okay? That's dishonor. Amen? For the local church. So you don't do that, okay? Again, you know, talking with your friends in service. You know, talking in service is not good. Amen? Now, I observe it, but I've kept quiet because, you know, where there is ignorance of the law, you can be excused. But now you know. So now that you know, there's no more ignorance. Do you understand? So I will now start talking about it. Once I see you like that, you will be embarrassed. Amen. You know your friend has the ministry, the gift of utterance. Oh, you don't get that. He has the gift of utterance. It's flowing from him like a mighty stream. And you sit near him in church. Say, ah, I'm fine, buddy. You're just in church. Not good enough. Oh. Amen. Not good enough. You know, for me, I remember for myself, when there are some people in church, I don't sit near them. When I go to church, I say, oh, we come to church together. I say, oh, thank you. See you after church. I go and find a seat in somewhere because I know this one. Our utterance is very plenty. Amen. You will not be able to hear what the pastor is saying. You know, you should not be gisting in church. No, you won't do that if you're standing before the president. Would you? No. You won't do that if you're standing before Bill Gates. Because you know that one has money. But in church, you just feel I can act anyhow. No, not good enough, okay? Now, number 9. No member of Dazu Church is allowed to be loose or uncouth on the social media. No one is allowed to be loose or uncouth on the social media. You know, learn from how I use my social media. Don't use it to fight people or insult people. Just seek to bless people. Do you understand? You know, if you don't know what to do with your social media, I advise you just don't use it at all. Just share my posts, right? Share our materials and just move on. Okay? You know, I must never find anyone in this church. You know, you are on social media insulting one pastor there, insulting, you know, talking, so pastor is this, not in this church. Amen. 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 Okay. Learn, if you don't know how to use your social media, just share what I've written, right, and move on. Amen. No member of this church is allowed to be loose on the social media. Amen. Comport yourself. Comport yourself. What did I say? Comport yourself. Now, number 10, beware of offenses in the local church. Beware of offenses in the local church. Don't allow little things get to you. Don't allow little things get to you. You know, you greet someone and then the person answers you somehow. Amen? And then you start saying, ah, yele o prago, oni gberaga. Did I say that well? Did I say that well? Okay, thank you. No, oni gberaga, ah, I greeted her. She didn't even answer me. And you don't know, you greeted Sister Jane, right? Sister Jane did not answer you. And you don't know that Sister Jane uses glasses. And her glasses just got issues. And because of that, those issues, she can't really see far anymore. So you greeted her and she didn't see you. And you got angry. Don't read meaning to things. Amen? Just, you can, if the person didn't greet you, go and say, I'm sorry, I saw you the other time. Were you busy? I actually said, ah, you didn't respond. Say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. Matter has ended. Right? But somebody will not say, I will show her. Amen? Don't read meaning into things too much. Amen? We are one. So you don't know. Probably the person was even, maybe the person is even sick. You don't know. Amen? So give people benefits of doubt. Don't read meanings to things too much. That's how people get offended in the local church. Okay? Don't read meanings to things too much. Just say, okay, well, if this happened, maybe I will ask the person much later. But for now, let me just let them be. Exactly. Okay, so now that's all for faithfulness in the local church. I believe more will be added as the years go on, but for now that will suffice. Now let's move on to a new subheading quickly as we begin to close. Now let's see faithfulness in marriage. Faithfulness in marriage. Remember, we saw that in this teaching as well, right? Faithfulness in marriage or to family. Now, number one, you must never, please put that in capital letter. If you have fonts I don't know, you use the font, use bold, underlined, red pen. Okay? You must never cheat on your spouse. Never. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following this? Or engage in any and all forms of sexual immorality. You must never cheat on your spouse or engage in any and all forms of sexual immorality. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Are you seeing this? You know, marriage is fidelity to your partner to the exception of all others. That's marriage. Fidelity to your partner to the exception of all others. You are not allowed to cheat on your spouse. Amen? Amen. Now, number two, aside your leaders at church, aside your leaders at church, no one else needs to know about your family problems. Amen? Protect your family secrets jealously. No one needs to know. Amen? You know, I even tell couples as well. Now, pay attention. In fact, sometimes, don't tell your parents. Don't tell your parents. Did you marry your father? Did you marry your mom? Who did you marry? Your partner. Settle issues amicably. God help you if you have a parent that doesn't know how to do the word. And he tells you, don't take the mother. The daughter goes to meet the mother and say, that is it. Help me now. That is saying, don't take rubbish from any man. Amen. That's the mother telling the daughter. You know, it sounds nice, but that's not the word. The word says walk in love. Amen. But you go and meet your parent that, you know, probably this one is not growing. You know, you grew spiritually, but this one probably did not. Amen. Now that's not an insult, okay? But probably they did not grow in knowledge of God's word in that area. Amen. And then you tell them, or you go and meet a friend. You tell your friend that my husband is doing this, my husband is doing that, and then they start feeding your mind with all sort of insecurities that, you know, will destroy your mind. You know, when you do that, you are shooting bullets at your marriage. Amen. And it's dying a slow and painful death. Amen. Keep matters hush. Amen. Amen. No one has to know. You can settle matters amicably with the help of your pastors. Amen. Number three, wives, submit to your husband and care for your children. You see that in Ephesians 5, verse 22, then 24, then Colossians 3, verse 18, then 1 Peter 3, 1 to 5. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 5. Wives, submit to your husbands and care for your children. You know, submit means you will sometimes take rubbish. Do you know? For peace to reign. That's what submit means. You will sometimes take rubbish. You know, some very funny. Somebody comes to the pastor, her husband is giving her issues. Or they're having issues with the husband, then they come before the pastor, and then the pastor is trying to correct issues, and then the wife is saying, tell pastor, you know when you married me, say Tunde Sofun pastor, you know when you married me, I don't take rubbish, you know, tell pastor, I don't take rubbish, when you give me hot, I give it back to you hot. She's saying that to the husband in front of the pastor. I said, huh? What? A believer in Christ? See, I don't take rubbish. That's our watchword, amen. We take rubbish. Hallelujah. Amen. What is walking in love? Amen. You will be slapped, knocked. Now, I've not said the husband can do that so that the wife will come into that. So that the wife can just be like a lamb. Then the husband can be using her as his boxing glove. We're coming to that soon. But no. Amen. Submit. Sometimes you know it's wrong. You know. Amen. You know it's wrong. But you say, okay, it's fine. I apologize. Just for peace to reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, number four, help your husbands. That's to the wives now. Help your husband's weaknesses and pray for him, okay? Always keep your husband in your prayers. Is that clear? Remember, he's a believer like you, right? Remember, he's growing like you, right? Okay? So he needs your prayer also, right? Okay. Now, number five, don't provoke him to anger. Okay? Mind your words. Especially in Nigeria, mind your words. Okay, mind the things you say. Don't provoke your husband to anger. Okay, now number six. Now this one is very interesting. Cooking for your family is not slavery. I said to mention this. cooking for your family is not slavery. I know there is a certain thought that is moving now in the 21st century that says a wife who cooks for her husband is slave. I don't understand how that began or where it's coming from. Amen. Caring for the family has always been a thing of honor. Amen. So I don't know where that is coming from. Hallelujah. Say, cooking for my family is not slavery. Amen. Say, it's not slavery. It doesn't mean I'm being used. It just means I care for my family. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, don't let the 21st century thinking, you know, they say feminism, don't let it warp your thinking. Amen. You know, the word is the word. Are you clear? Are you with me on this? Now, number 7, moving to husbands. Husbands, love your wife and family. Husbands, love your wife and family. Colossians 3:19, Ephesians 5:25-29. Colossians 3:19, Ephesians 5:25-29. Love your family. Number 8, provide and care for them materially. Provide and care for them materially. 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You seen that? Are you saying that? If anyone does not provide for his own household, he has denied the faith and is one worse than an unbeliever. Are you saying that? So a husband must not be irresponsible. Are you seeing this? He must provide for the needs of his family. That is his job. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't want responsibility, don't get married. Stay alone. Amen? Just be praying in tongues in your room alone. You don't want responsibility. Just stay alone. But you go and marry somebody's daughter, right? They have children with her and then you are giving them problems. Amen. If you want to raise a family, then know that responsibility is demanded of you. Amen. So the men say, I'm not an irresponsible husband. So I mean, I'm not an irresponsible husband. The girls are saying it too. Interesting. Number nine. Now, a husband must never, capital letter again, be violent toward his wife or children. Never. Amen. Never at any point, don't give a justification for it. You know, he must never eat his family members out of anger. Never. Are you following this? 1 Peter 3:7, it says, husbands likewise dwell with them. Then there is the wife, okay? With understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Are you saying that? And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, as to a weaker vessel does not mean the wife is weak. Amen. It simply means that the husband should treat her delicately. Treat her like she's fragile. Amen. So the Bible actually teaches men to be women conscious, women sensitive. Amen. Don't just go and hit. Ah! You know, some brothers do that in church. Ah, sister. Ah! You just blow a sister on her stomach. Don't try that here. Amen. Amen. Be woman sensitive. Okay. Treat her well. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, same with children. You see that in Ephesians 6:4, it says, and you fathers, stop laughing, it's okay. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do you see that? But bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord, okay? There are other ways to discipline than being violent. That's what most parents don't know. There are other better ways that we even train your child better than kish, ba, boo, be, turn the child to the boxing bag. Punching bag, okay? The father must learn to do this, okay? So, though, and you observe that those men that do this, that beat their wives, you observe that when they go outside, they can't face their fellow men. Do you observe that? That's a coward. You turn your wife to a boxing bag in the house because you know this one is gentle, she cannot fight you back. But you go to Oshodi. You see one of them, the eyes is red like this. You understand? Coward. No, don't do that. Don't beat your wife at home and, you know, be honorable. Amen. There are other ways you can. No, you can actually talk to your spouse. Do you know? Let's say, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. You know what you did? I didn't like it. Okay, what do you think we can do about this? So if people don't like that, I'll be like, exercise my authority. God help you. Number 10, children, honor your parents. Children, honor your parents. You see that in Ephesians 6:1-3. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, okay? It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Number 3, or verse 3, it says that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Are you saying that? So honor your parents. Number 11, don't insult or curse your parents. Okay, never do that, okay? Don't insult or curse your parents. It's not good. It's bad character, okay? It's rude and disrespectful. Number 12, parents are to train up their children in the way of the Lord. Parents are to train up their children in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way that it should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hallelujah. Amen. So parents must not be negligent when it comes to their children. Don't allow outsiders to teach your children morals. Okay? Don't allow outsiders to teach your children values. That is your job. Hallelujah. 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 Okay? So teach your children by example how to love the Lord from a young age. Okay? Teach your child how to pray. Teach your child how to read his Bible. Teach your child how to give in church. Teach your child how to honor. Teach your child how to fast. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, I remember for me, I really thank God for how I was brought up. My parents, when we were very young, taught us how to give in church. They would give us money and say, don't use it to buy biscuits. In fact, they would come and meet you and say, where is the money we gave you? You know, he just gave us a kind of mentality that, okay, giving in church is important. Do you understand? So, you know, do that to your children right from a young age. Say, the people say, I don't want to force my children. If you don't want, the world will force them. Amen. If you don't want to force them, the world will force them. Amen. Teach your children the right values. Hallelujah. From a young age. Amen. So, that's all for faithfulness to family and marriage. Now, lastly, as we begin to close, how many times have I said that now? Is it a good preacher closes three times, right? Okay. So, this is the third time now. I'll do it the second time now, right? Okay. So, lastly, let's look at faithfulness in business. Faithfulness in business or work. Now, number one, a believer must be careful not to lose his soul or his conscience in the search for money. You must be very careful. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. Are you saying that? For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Are you saying that? Are you saying that? And pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. So don't be one who will do anything just to make money. No, have a conscience. What did I say? Have a conscience. Your quest for money, for riches, must never affect your service to the Lord. Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen? That is money. You cannot serve God and money. Hallelujah. So you must be very careful. Never put your search for riches. Don't allow your search for riches. I want to be the youngest billionaire. You know this kind of unnecessary pressure we put on ourselves. Say, I want to be a billionaire under 30. You know, you were born in Agege. your father, you went to Sholanko school. In the art of Akpete. And you are saying, you put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Just calm down. When the money will come, it will come. Amen. Don't lose your soul for it. No. Amen. Amen. Number two, the Christian mustn't steal from work. The Christian mustn't steal from work. He must not extort, or engage in illegal business activities. He must not engage in illegal business activities. You know, the Old Testament talks about dishonest skills. Dishonest skills. Have you seen that before? You see that in Leviticus 19:35-36. Leviticus 19:35-36. It talks about honest skills there, okay, in verse 36. Then you see it again in Proverbs 11 verse 1. It says, dishonest skills are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Are you saying that? Proverbs 20 verse 23. It says, diverse weights an abomination to the Lord. Are you saying that? And dishonest skills are not good. Dishonest skills were used in those days to falsify. You know, you were using business to falsify. You know, you fake the measurement so that you can make more profit. Today, that will be, you know, a believer engaging in illegal activity just to make money. You know, you falsify records. You say, no. You know, for some people, I even saw one. She sells rice and she melts candle on the what they call that, and they used to measure the rice. She melts candle underneath it so that she can cheat people. Do you get that? So she's it's not the full measurement. She has melted candle underneath to lower the measurement. Why? I mean, is it the 10 naira you will make from that will help you in life? Amen. That's an example of dishonest skill. Don't be like that, okay? Okay? Be a trustworthy person, even in business. Amen? Amen. Okay, the believer must never be found doing this. Number three, the Christian must love and honor his boss at work. Okay? You must love and honor your boss at work. Walking in love toward him. Walking in love toward him. Don't be a Christian that's always gossiping. You know, you gather yourself and you're always gossiping about Oga. Don't mind that one. It's not serious. No. Amen? In Ephesians 6, verse 5 tells us that. Ephesians 6, verse 5. It says, "Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart, as to Christ." Verse 6 says, "Not with eye service as men pleases, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Verse 7, "With goodwill toward, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men." Verse 8, "Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free." You see the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, 22 to 25. Please turn your Bible there. Colossians 3, 22 to 25. He says, "Bond servants, obey in all things." Are you saying that? "Your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Verse 24. "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Verse 25. "But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Do you see that? So we are instructed in scripture to honor our bosses, okay? At work. Don't manipulate things to get your boss in trouble. Amen? Be someone who is loyal, trustworthy to your boss, okay? Now, number four, being a caveat to number three. Note, however, that work must never be placed above God. Are you saying this? Work must never be placed above God. This is the limit to your honor to your boss. Are you saying this? So when your boss at work, you know, the Bible says honor your boss, but your boss at work tells you to lie so that he can make profit. Are you saying that? Or he tells you not to come to church on Sunday so that you can be at work. Then you say no. That is the limit to where your honor for him ends. Are you saying that? The limit to your honor for your boss ends when it comes to the Lord and your service to him. Are you saying this? Are you saying this? Okay. So you can say no. Okay. In such situations, your obedience to God comes first. Hallelujah. Then lastly, if you are the boss, now referring to the boss at work, be kind. Amen? Be kind. Don't be a tyrant. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 verse 9. It says, "And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening." Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Giving up what? Threatening. That is referring to the boss. Knowing that your own master is also in heaven. Do you get that? Okay, you have a master also. So stop talking to someone the way your master doesn't talk to you. Okay, don't be a tyrant. Amen? As a boss. And there is no partiality with him. Are you saying that? Okay, so as a boss, don't be someone that will tell your employees that all of you are stupid. You are, where will you be without me? Blah, blah, blah. You know, people are like that. You know, you just get angry one day. So probably you are coming to work and somebody hits your car. Then throughout that day, you are moody at the poor employees. Were they the ones who eat your car? No. You transfer aggression to the employees. You say, "Today I'm rude. I'm deducting 10% from your salaries. What did we do? Somebody hit my car. Somebody hit your car. Am I somebody? Am I your car?" Amen. So why are you acting that way towards the person? Okay. So don't be a tyrant. Okay. As a boss, don't treat everyone well. You know, as much as lies with you, do well to your employees. You know, you might even sometimes just give them extra bonuses. Amen. Not because of anything, just okay, well, just have this. Amen. You know, you give them their salary, you add 10% on top of that. It doesn't take anything away from, you know, you. Amen. Not that you're always using them to make profit, but you don't care about them. Is that clear? So that is all for this teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I hope it has blessed you. Right? I hope you are instructed. Amen. You know, we spent 8 weeks on faithfulness. Okay? So say, I choose to be faithful. Say it well. Say, "I choose to be faithful." Amen. In my commitment to the Lord, in my commitment to the Lord, in my commitment to my local church, in my commitment to my leaders, to my pastors, in my commitment, in my family, in my commitment, come on, to my family, in my commitment to my marriage, in my commitment at work. I choose to be faithful. I am reliable. I can be relied upon. I'm a trustworthy person. Hallelujah. Be on your feet. Let's pray. Come on.